Welcome to another segment of Aesthetic Revolution, the podcast, where we talk about all things aesthetic and some things not aesthetic, but important to aesthetic, between the forehead and the feet with a concentration in between. I'm Dr. Ed Zimmerman, aka the Dick Doc, and this is Tacy Taylor Zimmerman, and we'll be chatting this morning about a very important thing called erectile dysfunction, because when you're being dissed, things just don't work.
They don't function.
The dad jokes are free. Anyway, so we get calls, and Stacy very often fields those calls, of guys of all ages calling in, talking about
erectile dysfunction, everything that is going wrong with their private parts.
So Godzilla doesn't get up, doesn't stay up long enough to get off. There's all kinds of variations in that spectrum, and there's all kinds of things we can do. So part of the first thing that we do is to track on what the issue is. So we go through a series of questions, and we ask, can you have an erection? Does your erection come first thing in the morning, generally? Can you have an erection and keep an erection long enough to satisfy your partner or for you to get satisfaction? Those are all important things. What's your refractory time? How long in between being able to get an erection and your orgasm and your next ability to get an erection? And then where are you in life? What things are you doing? Is there diabetes? Is there hypertension? What's your testosterone level? Is there an element of depression? Do you smoke? Do you vape? There are all kinds of things that the interaction between this head and that head are dependent on for that head to function appropriately in a relationship.
One of the things that we hear from, I think, most often is, how young can you start to have erectile dysfunction? This was something that I was a little bit surprised about as well, but it can start very young, even in your teenage years. You can start to have some types of erectile dysfunction. So it's not uncommon to have erectile dysfunction in your 20s.
Sure. Even in your teenage years, mm-hmm. like you're talking about, because, you know, we run into a society where, well, if this head isn't talking correctly to that head, you won't be able to get an erection, maintain an erection. And, you know, they're not just biochemical issues, but there are biochemical issues. And there are certainly people on antidepressants, certainly people who are smoking and vaping and adding other chemical insults to their body that cause things not to work. So the first thing we do is define the problem. Are you getting an erection? And is that erection hard enough? And is that erection lasting long enough? So maybe we should start with there about how erections work. So you have to have, assuming that the anatomy works, assuming that the foreskin, if there is a foreskin, is unglued and is able to retract and then slide back over the tip of the penis without causing any pain or without retaining the shaft from being able to be fully erect. If everything's working well down there, and the next thing we ask about is there adequate testosterone? Because in some of our men, irregardless of age, their testosterone levels have been coming back surprisingly low. And there are, as we said, many environmental factors, but some of it just has to do with sedentary lifestyle, not having enough testosterone generated by your body, because when you get up and work out, you generate more testosterone. And putting you on testosterone is a double-edged sword, because if you put a body on testosterone, it quits making, to a degree, its own testosterone. And when you go off of testosterone at some point in your life, your body will only gradually return to the amount of testosterone that you would normally make at that point in your life. But it may not be enough to maintain an erection, to have the hydraulics fill with blood and have enough sensation to be able to have an orgasm. So testosterone levels are paramount. And then how we treat them, whether we give medications to cause the testicles to enlarge, almost like fertility drugs, and as a byproduct produce more testosterone, or whether we use a testosterone cream or a testosterone injection, and no, testosterone is not absorbed orally. So all those drugstore and gas station pills that claim to create miracles, don't waste your money.
Please, many questions asked about that in particular. Yeah,
there are no good studies on ashwagandha and all the others. Mm-hmm. There's some anecdotal information on supplements like horny goat weed and a few of the others that may be beneficial. Even vitamin D may be beneficial. But if you have a well-rounded diet and a good exercise routine, that's the first thing that you can do to ensure you have adequate testosterone production, whether you're a guy or a girl, because girls need it too. Mm-hmm. Because the analogous anatomy is that women engorge, women have sensation, women have lubrication. Those are all things that they're analogous parts to guys. Guys have engorgement, guys have erections, guys have sensation. So, you know, all those things have to work. Mm-hmm. So we first make sure that our testosterone level is adequate. What's adequate? It depends on the laboratory. In general, in your, well, 20s, 30s, 40s, and into your 60s and 70s, you'd like to have a trough testosterone. The testosterone is lowest when versus highest. You'd like to have it a minimum, at least I think in functional guys, because testosterone does a lot of good things for your body. It's an endogenous antidepressant. It's a vasodilator, so it's nice for your coronary arteries. It's nice for the arteries in Godzilla to be able to fill and flow. It improves sensation. It improves muscle mass, bone mass, most likely. There are a lot of good reasons to have testosterone. Now, too much testosterone is what our legislators decided was a bad thing and people should be protected against. So too much anabolic steroids not only makes you muscly, but can change your personality. It can cause loss of hair, so early premature balding. It can cause acne, steroid rage, or lots of bad things with too much testosterone. So if you're going to be on testosterone, please have it controlled and supervised by a healthcare provider who knows what they're doing. So make sure that you don't get testosterone peripherally be converted into estrogen and get bitch tit or any of the other feminizing things that can happen when your testosterone goes too high.
Goodness. So not too low, not too high.
Right.
Right there in between.
Right there in between. And in between means your trough level is probably 500 to 800, depending on the laboratory. Most normal testosterone is between somewhere in the mid-200s and 1,000, 1,100 total number, different from a free testosterone, which is the active form. We'll talk about that a little later, maybe. But the goal when we get someone on testosterone replacement, TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, or HRT, hormone replacement therapy, is to have their trough testosterone in the 600 to 900 range. That's when it's lowest.
Let me stop you there for a second. So okay. One of the many things that we also get is guys will say, well, my testosterone was 250 and my doctor said it's fine. This is something literally every day.
Yep.
We hear.
Yep.
So,
and I get tired of apologizing for my peers. Because normal doesn't mean optimal. And we live in a society where, well, that's a whole other thing. But if it's testosterone and I'm a guy, or you're my patient, or your spouse is my patient, I want your testosterone to be optimal to keep you out of trouble, to not cause risk of blood thickening, steroid rage, anything like that, but for you to maintain muscle mass, have your brain functioning well, have some drive, have some libido, and have Godzilla get up in the morning and go to work. That's what makes it a great day.
So much higher than 250.
Much higher than 250. Right. And the number of guys that we screen or who have been screened who come to us because their doctor wouldn't do anything because they were in the normal range. Recognize that normal has old guys, young guys, healthy guys, not so healthy guys. And they get a range. Well, that's how they get a range. And that's why it's so big. But optimal is still optimal. Optimal is when we understand that that number is going to allow you to perform optimally without being at risk. Mm-hmm. That's the number we need you to be. Now, can testosterone levels go higher than 1,100? Absolutely. We just don't want them to stay there. So when you use a testosterone cream once a day and your testosterone level just vacillates during the day, or you use a testosterone injection intramuscularly once or twice a week, small needle, I've done it myself for decades, you get all the benefits of testosterone. And when you do a needle injection with a depot testosterone, the level goes high and then it gradually comes down as the testosterone is released over the course of a week. It gets down into the 600 to 900 range. You hit it again. Goes up, comes down. Goes up, comes down. You take a medication called anastrozole, which is a blocker that prevents the conversion of testosterone to estrogen in the peripheral tissue, so you don't get the side effects and the feminizing effects that your body could otherwise have. So that's why it's important to do this with your healthcare practitioner and not your local gym rat. Okay, back to erectile function. we have the testosterone working better. What are the other things that can interact? Thyroid. If somebody is hypothyroid, you know how they get sluggish and they lose muscle mass? And the thyroid needs to be optimized as well. That's the other big thing in guys. So there are many facets of this, and there's some other things too. We look at your DHEA, dihydroepiandrosterone. That is a building block of testosterone. So your body needs to make and have enough store of that in order for you to make some testosterone, because your body's going to get lazy if we add to it. But sometimes we can just give it the building block. We're going to look at your blood count. Make sure that, because testosterone causes your body to make more red blood cells. We don't want you to put you at risk for having too thick blood and having a heart attack or a clot or a stroke or something like that. We want to look at your liver function, because testosterone is metabolized from the inactive form or storage form to the active form by the liver. We want to make sure that your liver is functioning well. So if you're drinking a lot or smoking a lot or vaping a lot or certain medications, these are all things that can depress testosterone or your conversion of testosterone to the active form. We don't want any of that.
No.
So all that's got to be monitored if you're doing testosterone replacement.
How often do you need a liver function test?
At least once a year.
Just once a year?
At least.
Okay.
You know, you've got to treat the patient, not the numbers. So at least once a year, you're going to do a total panel where you're going to look at all those things. And anytime you make a change, once you get to a steady state, 6-8 weeks later, you're going to check another spot level there. And you're going to check it before or right before, in the scheme of things, the next testosterone injection if they're doing injections. So those are all things to consider. But let's talk, get back to erectile function.
Okay.
And making it function. So we have hydraulics in the penis. We have the two corpora cavernosa about 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, and the corpora spongiosum that runs along the bottom of the shaft. These hydraulics run almost all the way back to the rectum, because that foundation, that underpinning allows the penis to stand up in the parts of the penis of the shaft you can see, and it's held sort of parallel to the body or more up than out by the dorsal penile ligament. So that's another thing we'll talk about in another podcast that we don't want to cut, because it can lead to a fractured corpora cavernosa if you get into the wrong position, and fractures in that extremity are bad for business. Once he is up, he's got to stay up. So the way the corpora function is they fill, and as they actually fill to the point where it stops them from emptying a little bit. And that's why they go up and stay up for a while until you have a release with an orgasm, and then the doorways open up and the blood flows back out again. Now, some guys, as they get older, have something called venous leak syndrome. And they'll find that certain positions, when they're on top or behind, where gravity is in their favor, they're able to keep the erection longer than if they're on their back or on their side, where gravity is trying to drain the erection.
Now, you say some guys. Would you say that's a higher percentage than
just some
guys? As we get
older. Yeah.
Right?
Because our valves don't work as well. The valves in our veins don't work as well, the same as on our legs or anyplace
right.
else.
So older gentlemen, some makes it sound like a few, but really it's a good percentage of those men have that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they have a history of a varicocele, that spongy collection of veins down in the scrotum that's just above or behind the testicles, or they have a history of varicose veins in their legs or a history of large external hemorrhoids, those are all hints that there may be a propensity to develop venous leak syndrome. And that can sometimes be treated surgically, but often we work other ways around it. So there are other things we do to treat erectile function. So once our testosterone is optimized, and you know, an easy thing to do is to say to gentlemen, you know, have you tried Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, one of those forms of medications, because they're basically vasodilators. They were developed to treat pulmonary hypertension, so to open up the blood vessels going to the lungs so that they weren't tight, that caused high blood pressure in the lungs. And as a side effect, guess what? Godzilla got up and got going. So the pharmaceutical companies are not idiots. They said, here's a revenue source that we can utilize. Mm-hmm. And so now we have those drugs, and a number of them have gone off patent. So you can get generics that are pretty good and much less expensive. So even the insurance companies are starting to cover those. So that's a neat thing. Or sometimes we can, you know, find an online supplier where a doctor who has a license to practice in your particular state can do a verbal interview, go through everything, and perhaps prescribe that for you. And sometimes they work with pharmacies or compounding pharmacies, and they'll send it to your door in a brown paper wrapper, so nobody needs to know what you're getting in the mail.
And that's our DickDocRx site.
Yep, that's one of the sites.
Yeah.
Yep. So register with them, get the sales, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So what else can we do if Godzilla isn't getting up promptly and staying up? Well, one of the things you can do is you can take your penis to the gym. There are all manner of both dry and wet vacuum pumps. But think about it, that if you pull a vacuum on an erectile shaft, it causes it to engorge and then stay engorged for a period of time. So it should not hurt, but it should cause the penis to fully engorge, to have additional girth, and to have whatever length it's capable of having without putting stresses on the vascular component or the nerve component, and then to stay there for a period of time, say 10 minutes, reasonable period of time. Some systems use 2.5 to 5 minutes, drop the pressure back, recreate it again. Water probably pulls a more even pressure than air, but even a good vacuum pump that can pull pressure with air, the seals at the base of the penis, you may have to manscape a little bit, but that's okay. You may need a little lubrication in order to get a good seal, but the idea is to take your penis to the gym, just like you would take your body to the gym, so the penis learns to engorge and stay engorged.
Is this every day?
Well, it's probably every day for the first few weeks, and then it's several times a week after that, because just like going to the gym, if you quit going, you lose the benefit. It can be a precursor to relations. It can be fit into relations, or it can just be part of your daily routine, either in the shower or, you know, before or after bed, whatever, whatever works for you. But there are a number of good pumps available that are not the cheesy ones coming out of China that use a little hydraulic pump from your hand. By the way, you can get those hydraulic pumps on Amazon for about $25. And they don't have a gauge on them, so you don't know how much vacuum you're pulling dependably. They all should have a quick release valve so that if things are being pulled up into the vacuum chamber, like the boys, and that can be painful, you want to be able to release that vacuum and resettle things and rearrange the anatomy so that only the shaft of the penis is in the vacuum chamber.
So good penis pump.
So a good penis pump, whether it's one that you manually obtain the vacuum with in either air or water, or that you have a little battery. They have rechargeable ones that pull a little vacuum, and they have a nice base seal, and they're pretty much one size fits all, but the best ones even have various sizes. Some of them are embarrassingly large sized, but
we have a couple of guys that
we do have a couple of guys who regularly stopped going through TSA because they practice a lot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so penis pumps and taking your penis to the gym after you've maintained a good testosterone level is something to consider. When a guy comes in and says, well, I get an erection, but I don't feel the way I used to feel. I don't have sensation the way I used to have sensation when I was younger. Then there are a couple things that come to mind. One is using your body's own platelet-rich plasma, and sometimes called a P-shot. And then sometimes there are another of other injectable names. But if we pull a specimen of your own blood, and in our office, of course, we've gone from using test tubes with thixotropic gel that only take 10 or 20 cc's to using clinical blood drawing equipment where we're pulling off 60 cc's at a time. So part of a unit of blood, you can make another few red blood cells in the course of a month. And then we have a clinical centrifuge that spins the blood out so that the red blood cells go to the bottom of the cylinder, and the plasma, which contains the platelets, the healing factors, the growth factors, the factors that make blood vessels grow in to the corpora's and make nerves grow around the penis. Those are all separated. We spin it again to make it even more pure, and we're putting in billions, not just millions, billions of platelets per cc into the corpora cavernosa. And it's done in the office, very simple procedure, a little bit of topical anesthetic and a sterile ice pack. And the incision, the injection feels pretty much like a little bit of pressure, and no downtime. You can take it on the road and take it on the test track and try it out that night if you want to. Most guys respond within a month. Some guys we do a series once a month or so on, and some guys we do you know, periodically will do maintenance with their pee shots.
Let's just talk real quick. Not all pee shots are created equal. It's very scientific and important to go to a provider that provides the best possible PRP. We can do another podcast on just that, but let's just state that right now.
So do your research.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you're getting billions of platelets if possible, rather than millions of platelets, because some of these test tubes that we've tested, we've run the platelet counts of the blood as it comes out of the body. And then after we've done the spin downs, and some of these test tubes, they actually had lower platelet counts. And these were ones that we thought were great. Certainly all the physicians drank the Kool-Aid and have paid thousands of dollars to bring these particular tubes into their offices. And they're actually probably doing a disservice to their patients without knowing it. So that's why sometimes pee shots don't work. Another reason is people do pee shots without getting a testosterone level. Because if your testosterone level's in the toilet, it doesn't matter how good your PRP is, you're not going to be able to get and maintain an erection, or there's some other anatomical reason. So pee shots work when everything else is optimized. So we've talked about pee shots, but there's other things that we can put into the corpora cavernosa to help them function better. Botulinum toxins, so the same Botox, Xeomin, Dysport, Jeuveau, Daxxify, take your pick. They all have the same inner core molecule, but it's a botulinum toxin that we can mix, and those are the same things we use to slow down or freeze the dynamic wrinkles that are caused by the muscles in the face. We use them in armpits to minimize sweating. So they're decreasing the ability of the smooth muscle around the base of each of the sweat glands to contract. Well, when you put that botulinum toxin into the corpora cavernosa, you can allow it to fill and engorge better because it relaxes the muscles that allow for the engorgement of the hydraulics. So pee shots are great when your testosterone's optimized. Botulinum toxin, when your testosterone's optimized. Taking your penis to the gym, and by the way, we skipped talking about putting a base ring or a constriction band, or what used to be called a cock ring, around the base of the penis. So one of the ways you get around venous leak syndrome, choose your position wisely, get above, get behind, but you can put they used to be leather with all kinds of crazy decorations on, but now they tend to be a soft silicone band, and it may be a thinner band, it may be a thicker band, just like a belt with your suit. It has to be the right amount of compression to allow the penis to engorge, but not to allow it to empty as well. So a constriction band or a base band or a cock ring, whatever they're all available online as well as the sex stores, but they're actually a therapeutic modality.
And we've actually sourced some really good ones on the DickDoctorRx site.
Yep. Not to have another plug, but yeah, there are some there because we curate that site and some of the toys off there. So that's a fun place to peruse.
And we do put a lot of time and effort into making sure the product is good quality.
That's true.
That
it's TikTok endorsed.
That's right.
All right. So another thing we need to talk about in terms of erectile function is that just the way that the coronary arteries can become stenosed or blocked, the arteries in Godzilla and in the corpora can become blocked down as well. And so we found a very ingenious way of opening those up. So, you know, with a coronary artery, sometimes they'll go in through the groin or the arm, they'll take a catheter and they'll put a stent in. Well, that's pretty invasive. What if you could take sound pressure waves and the same technology that's used to break up kidney stones with sound pressure waves without having an incision or a puncture or anything like that? You can break up kidney stones in the body by sitting your patient down in a vat of water and using the proper sound wave to focus down and break up the kidney stone. Well, you can break up the little interstitial blockages in the corpora cavernosa the same way. So we call that acoustic wave therapy or acoustic shock wave therapy. There are a number of terms for it. And whether it's focused wave or radial wave, it's still a pressure wave. And there's not a lot of distance it has to go to be able to affect the corpora. We found that a series of about six of those, done every 2 to 5 days apart over, 2 to 3 weeks as a base and then maintenance, to keep those chambers open really helps with erections. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty cool. Another part of erectile function is you have an erection, you maintain an erection, and then you get to the ejaculation. But the ejaculation that used to go across the room is now petering out, pardon the pun, and it just kind of dribbles. There's a machine that uses electromagnetic energy to cause supramaximal contractions of the pelvic floor. So the Emcella chair, and there's several other brands out there, but it happens to be the one we've had at the moment. It's not just for treatment of urinary incontinence in men and women, but it causes the pelvic floor to contract in such a way, like 1,200 supramaximal contractions in a comfortable 20-minute, 28-minute therapy, that you can not only have better erections, but you can have better ejaculations as well. Plus, doing these super Kegels allows you to hold your urine. If you're on a long trip or something like that, you can do that more effectively. But the FDA approval is actually for treatment of male and female incontinence, and this is a happy side effect. What else do we need to talk about when it comes to erectile dysfunction?
I think we've covered, you know, the main issues, or the main, you know, things that we address.
Cover most of the questions that you get from guys.
Yeah. I mean, some people, obviously, it's a little more in-depth, but for the most part, most guys fit into benefiting from all of these procedures or a few of these procedures. So,
yeah. And before you come to see us or talk to Stacy, go to your primary care doc, get your testosterone level checked, get screened for your blood pressure, make sure you're not hypertensive, and that the medications you're on aren't, especially beta blockers and some of the ACE inhibitors that are used to treat hypertension, can decrease sexual function. Make sure you're not diabetic, because diabetes is a small vessel disease. So just the same way that people don't feel their feet or their hands or things like that because the small vessels supply the nerves, they get numb. That other extremity doesn't work the same way when you choke down on the small vessels. And then, you know, there are other things. If you're a smoker, if you're a vapor, if there's lots of other things that can cause constriction of the small vessels so that Godzilla doesn't get up and go to work in the morning. Mm-hmm. Those are all things. And obviously, be good to yourself. Take your penis to the gym. Get into a good headspace, because if this head isn't in a good headspace, that head isn't going to work very well. And take the time out to engage your spouse and not be depressed about it.
So good health is the most important thing.
Yep.
Exercise.
Yep.
You know, be careful of your alcohol intake. Stop smoking.
And don't smoke.
Don't smoke at all.
Yep.
And
nobody wants Nick Dick.
And address. If there's an issue, address it. Don't be afraid to call your doctor. Don't be afraid to call us. There's things that can help.
Yep. Don't give up on sex. Get a baseband. Yeah. So, you know, those are all things that are part of our discussion of erectile function. If you have enjoyed this conversation, then like, listen, send it to your friends. Obviously, follow us.
Subscribe.
Tune in, subscribe. Yeah, all that good stuff. And we appreciate you spending part of our day with us on this discussion. We like answering questions. So as you have questions or things that we may not have covered in as much depth, you know, particularly for you or your spouse, feel free to reach out. We'll try to answer those things. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of Aesthetic Revolution, the podcast. We'll see you next time.